Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Shelley.
Welcome to another episode of Chicks and...
Slime!
Yay!
Dicks?
Dicks. Yes. I should have looked up the Hebrew word for dick.
This was Rachel's pick.
Yes, this is my pick.
This is her Passover pick.
It's very timely. Because tonight, as we are recording, it's Erev Pesach, so when you listen to this, it will likely be Passover, unless you are way in the future and Passover has passed over. So we have read Matzah Ball Blues by Jennifer Wilk. Are you ready for the synopsis?
A cute title, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, like, that's it drew me in.
Yeah, of course. Okay, yep. Go on. We haven't done a Jewish romance yet, so that's...
No,
that's
we haven't. Mm-hmm. Why is this night different from all other nights? For starters, Jared Lehman is home for the holidays. Because though he and Caroline Weiss were high school sweethearts, their post-college lives took them in different directions. Jared became a big-time entertainment lawyer in L.A., while Caroline became a fitness instructor and stayed in town to care for her sick mother. And though her mother passed away 3 years ago, Caroline is finally free to go where she chooses. Meanwhile, Jared, who inherited custody of his baby niece after a tragic accident, is suddenly a family man. So now Caroline wants to leave her hometown in the dust, whereas Jared might just set up roots there. Because there's one thing that Browerville, New Jersey offers the two of them that no other place does. Each other.
Barf. I mean, really, it's all the romances.
Yes. Say it.
Okay.
Say all whatever you want to say. This is a safe space.
No, it's not. The internet is never a safe space. I play games online. Lull me into some...
No, this podcast is a safe space.
Oh,
yes.
Until we upload it. I have to say that this book was cute, but I... Yeah, when we go into it, the one thing I didn't understand is, okay, they mention right away, okay, so you find out right away that Jared has this niece that he's taking care of. His brother and his sister-in-law died tragically and suddenly. How did they die?
In a car accident.
Was it a car accident?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a car accident.
They never actually said a car accident, though.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure they don't. I think everybody just assumes that they did, but like they just mention a tragic accident. They don't say...
I thought they said car accident. No. Okay, so if it wasn't a car accident, what was it?
I don't know. I did that. They were just always referred to as an accident. That's why I'm asking. But I don't remember anything being mentioned about a car accident. People just... Mm-hmm. It was never actually explained.
Oh, okay. Well, that's funny that we all would just assume car accident.
Like, because here's the thing is, it's like you think that if they were explaining a car accident, like if the kid was in the car with them and survived, yeah. Or... Like, you don't, there's no detail. It was, like, literally, like, mm-hmm. where the kid was at home, luckily. Like, usually there'd be some details of something in passing. But, like,
there's nothing. Because there's so many other details in this book.
I know. Really, there is a lot of detail.
Quite a lot of detail.
A lot of, again, like, one of our big problems with some of these books is that the main characters get in their own way. Which, I mean, can happen to a certain degree. I don't mind someone getting in their own way as a plot point, so on and so forth. When it's so consistently there after, like, one problem has been resolved to have another because they're creating more drama for themselves is
a problem.
To me, just becomes, it's a problem. It's a huge problem. So let's start with the book.
Okay. So Caroline lives in Browerville, New Jersey, which I guess is sort of like a suburb of New York. They say it's about an hour away. And she's lived there her whole life. She had this high school boyfriend, Jared, and they bump into each other at the supermarket, and he's got this little girl, and Caroline's like, well, I guess I just couldn't give him what he wanted. And it's like, it was fucking 10 years ago.
It's 10 years ago. You're bumping into him, and you know that he's been living in LA for 10 years.
Yeah.
And she bumps into him and assumes that this kid is his right off the hop.
Which is a natural assumption to make. Anybody would make
that
assumption.
Also, this whole fucking small town knows that his family, and she's...
Right?
Like, they all know.
I know.
Everybody knows but her, the ex-girlfriend.
No,
like, fuck that.
She,
no,
she
I don't
knows it
that
too. And we'll get to that. So, anyway, so they bump into each other at the supermarket. They have a very awkward interaction. And then they kind of go their separate ways. And Jared was actually quite surprised to see her. And very happy to see her. And so he's kind of wrestling with these feelings. And she was surprised to see him, obviously. And she doesn't know how she feels about it. He's home for Passover. He's actually going to be home for a month because when the book begins, Passover, I think, is 2 weeks away. So he's going to be home for about 3 weeks. The timing is kind of important. And so they spend the next few days kind of like running into each other. She works at the JCC, which stands for Jewish Community Center, which is just a community center.
It's not the Japanese Cultural Center, by the way.
It is not the Japanese Cultural Center. I know that's where your mind went. Because you did spend time at the Japanese Cultural Center in Toronto.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Given the names in this book, I think it's safe to assume it is not
yes,
the Japanese
that we're not, Cultural yeah. Mm-hmm. Center. This is not an episode of Shogun, which would have been way more interesting.
You can start a different podcast with Chris about that one.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to totally catch up on that one because him and I, we'll have a lot of
We'll have a lot to talk about.
Anyway, different podcast. Go on.
Future podcasts. Right now, for the Right Now podcast. Caroline, in her job, she's a fitness instructor, but she also does senior programming at the JCC and has been encouraged to learn a little bit of accounting and what have you to kind of just help her kind of grow and blossom into a leadership role in the community center. Which is all well and good.
As opposed to just a fitness instructor.
As opposed to just a fitness instructor. There's nothing wrong with being a fitness instructor.
I know, right? Like, fuck you. You're getting paid to be a fitness instructor. It's actually pretty good.
Don't dump all over the fitness instructors. We need these people in our lives. And she's supposed to get a promotion. And she gets called into her boss's office. And he's like, I can't give you the promotion I promised you. I'm so terribly sorry. There's some sort of budget shortfall. And nobody wants to talk about this budget shortfall. But it's like a really big deal.
Yeah, to the point where they can't fund a lot of things, but they're doing fundraisers, but they don't know where the money has gone.
Yeah.
Which is also, you think that the person on the board who's the head of accounting,
they'd be a little bit more concerned about the missing funds.
Especially when it's so large that you cannot fund certain departments or do certain things, and you used to be able to, and you're
putting, and now you
everybody
don't.
Knows you're pulling in more money.
Like, yeah, so it doesn't, it seems like people aren't worried enough about what's going on inside the JCC. And I get it. Maybe you want to keep a lid on it. It looks bad. Like, it's terrible PR. It looks bad to the donors because where's their money
yeah,
going?
Yeah, but within even their own community, they would know, right?
Like, yeah, just... like inside the building, there'd be some buzz about this. Anyway, so Caroline's very upset about this turn of events. However, she's not going to let it dampen her outlook because she has a huge holiday planned because she had to give up on her dreams, essentially, to take care of her ailing mother, who died 3 years ago. And now Caroline has the financial independence to kind of do what she wants. And what she wants to do is travel through Europe. So she has this fabulous holiday booked, and she's just kind of counting down the days. Meanwhile, Jared is at home with his niece and really struggling with a lot of personal stuff because...
Well, he's grieving.
He's grieving. His brother died. He's guardian to his niece. And he's accepted this role and responsibility, but he's really struggling with, like, the girl is 2 years old.
He's accepted it physically, but not mentally.
But not mentally.
He doesn't want to be a replacement for his brother, who he's extremely close with. He doesn't want to be, he doesn't want this daughter to forget about the brother that he loved and had.
But, I mean, she doesn't even know him. She'll never know him. And then she starts calling him Dada, and he like freaks out about the whole thing. And so he's got a lot to deal with.
He's also kind of like known as this like big shot, big wig lawyer. And so it kind of goes against his image of like family dad kind of versus like it's that corporate versus family typical war, which doesn't need to happen.
No, it doesn't, but people just assume that that's how it has to be. And so while he's home, he has taken a leave from work, but his phone keeps blowing up all the time because
he deals with famous people.
He deals with famous people, and they want what they want, and they want it right away. But while he's at home, he's reconnecting with his parents, and he is establishing a relationship with his niece, and he's coming to terms with the fact that he's really feeling unfulfilled in his work, even though he's like up for partner. And he busted his ass to get where he is. Now that he's sort of out of LA and away from that whole scene, he kind of understands that there are other things in life that might be just as important or possibly more important than his job.
Well, and then, like, bumping into his ex-girlfriend also brings back the emotions of what did he possibly miss by giving up everything for his job, right? So it's also that element of they were really good together, and he has a guilt complex about fucking everything. So he has a guilt complex about leaving his girlfriend.
Well, he bailed on her. Like, that was bad.
No, he was a total asshole, and he admits it, but, like, everything he does is to, like, make up for his mistakes in the past. Like, I was almost like, are you Catholic? Because, like...
you're not familiar with Jewish guilt?
No, apparently not.
It flows from the mother to the child. And so that whole conversation that he has with his mom, where she, like, just keeps nagging him about this horrible thing he did 10 fucking years ago. 100%. Like, that is how it works.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, I wasn't quite aware of the
but terrible... he carries all this guilt around. Yes. Yes. We carry guilt around with us.
Well, anyway, so he's like... let it
impact your influence.
Okay. So you're just telling me that everybody needs therapy. Okay.
Everyone does need therapy.
Yes.
I don't care who you are, where you come from, or what religion you practice or don't. Everybody needs therapy.
Yes, but this also comes from, like, a cultural, stemming from a cultural thing.
I think it's more of a joke within Judaism than in Catholicism. It's very serious.
Not for Jared.
Not for Jared.
And I'm just saying, as someone who's reading, and, like, I mean, obviously being friends with you for as long as we fucking have, like, and obviously you know me, and, like, we have quite a few Jewish friends, and I have celebrated almost every single fucking holiday, weddings, funerals, like, everything. I've been to it all.
You've been to a Seder, I believe, didn't you? Did you go to Jen's house for a Seder or something like
that?
Yes,
I did.
Yeah.
And her grandmother was cracking, like, really inappropriate jokes the whole time. But still, like, there's these little nuances that you just don't know because you just don't grow up. Like, you grow up and being kind of at someone's dinner table and being part of the, like, being welcomed into the culture is very different than, I guess, like, these assumptions that you're like, oh, okay, like, like, it's, again, like, mother to child. Like, I don't see your mom, like, your mom's nag, right? Like, it's, like, fine. Yeah. But I don't see your mom nagging you, like, every day about shit that happened 10 years ago, but I know it probably happens.
I'm sure it happens with some families. Not in mine, thank God.
So for me looking in, there's a couple things where I was like, okay, there's a lot of stereotyping that I was like,
Oh, like what? Oh, I'm so curious to hear this.
So like, the Jewish stereotypes about being about money, and, like, the major thing in this book is a fucking forensic accounting crime.
I don't know if that's a stereotype. Like, yes, there are stereotypes about Jews being good with money and having a lot of it. But the embezzlement that's taking place and the fraud that's taking place, that's not exclusive to Jewish organizations.
No, absolutely not. But it's just funny that the only romance we pick has to do with this. There could have been so many different types of scandals, but they went for, like, forensic accounting and a small, very insular community that they don't want the rest of the community to find out about. It's like, not...
Oh, that's such an interesting read. Oh my God, it's like not my take at all. I'm like, whatever. Embezzlement.
Yeah, it is embezzlement, but I was just like, could we have gone for, like, some different type of scandal?
I guess because she needed to have her she didn't even need to have her promotion canceled.
Like most other books, especially romance novels, have to do with, like, you know, someone having an affair with someone else within the Jewish community would have been, like, a better take, essentially. But no, she chose forensic accounting as her. There's a lot of other things that could have happened. Like someone being, like, murdered and doing a crime, which would have been cool. But, like,
book really needed was a murder mystery to bring them together.
I would have been way more into this book.
More interested. Hard to keep a lid on a murder, just generally speaking.
That was my interesting read about, like, stereotyping and, like, perhaps from an outside perspective.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
Anyway.
So what happens in this book? Not a lot, to be perfectly honest. So Jared wants to rekindle a relationship with Caroline. And he's so he actually apologizes, which was very big of him to do. And she's like, okay, I accept your, she's a bit of a cold fish, Caroline. I don't really
and
like
he
her.
Is, And he is determined to make up for his past mistakes, like to be a better person. And he wants to prove to everybody that he is a better person.
All good stuff.
He does a fucking good job at it.
Absolutely he does. I am Team Jared all the way.
100%.
Less so Team Caroline.
Team Caroline. Fucking.
She just, like, she accepts his apology, says that she's moved on from it. Okay, that's fine. But, like,
clearly hasn't.
Clearly hasn't. And, like, refuses to have a relationship with this person, like even a friendship. And she's like, we can't even be friends because of our past. I'm like, I don't think that's the case. I think,
well, it's also because they're like, there's still this attraction there, right? And she's worried that she's gonna fall into it and that he's gonna hurt her again, which is a little bit reasonable, but at the same time, you know, like, but she teases the line, and that's what bothers me. It's not like she's like, I don't want to talk to you. She's like, well, and he's like, come on. He's like, come on, we can just do lunch. And she's like, okay. And then she has a really good time, and then she tries to deny any further players. And so basically, like, Jared has to persuade her to do anything and, like, really work hard at it. Like, she is resistant to the core about doing anything, but then in the end she'll be like, oh, okay, I guess,
okay, fine. And then, oh, I just had the best day ever hanging out with Jared. It's like, yeah,
so I never want to do it again, and I think about him all the time, so I never want to talk to him again.
Okay, like, I was a little frustrated with her because she thinks that, first of all, I don't think this woman's ever had a casual relationship in her life. And I get it. She was caring for her mother. But was her mother on her deathbed for 7 years? That seems like a long time.
I mean, like, no, you can, like, there was a friend of our family's, Angela, rest her soul, she was a sweetheart, but she was a good friend of the family's, and she battled breast cancer for probably 10 years, and so she would come out of it and be, like, functional, and then she'd just go right back down, and, like, it was just, and so, but she did battle it for, like, 10 years, and there was a long time, especially at the end, where, like, she was getting sicker and sicker, and then she'd kind of pop up for air and, like, go back down. But from what I understand with Caroline's situation is that, like, her mom was, like, bedridden, I think it was, like, for 5 years.
That's what,
right?
It sounded like, because her mother got sick, I think, in their, like, second year of university or first or something along those lines, or maybe was it right after high school, whatever. The point is, the way it's written, it sounds like her mother was, as you say, bedridden for, like, 7 years or whatever, which, and so Caroline spent all of that time at her mother's bedside and could only work at the JCC because it was close to home and she made enough money that she could kind of care for her mom. And to me, it just seems like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem realistic.
Well, also, like, also for me, like, having been a caregiver for 5 years and kind of, yes, being locked into a situation where I couldn't really leave home that much, like, you look at this and I'm like, yeah, no, like, that's not a thing. Also, within a community such as she is, which is very caring, that you'd think that she would have more physical support for her own time as well, right? So I don't know. Like, it just seems like she's missing out on a lot of programs.
Well, we don't know what, I think it was cancer. We don't even know what illness her mother had.
No, that's true. We kind of assume it's cancer.
We assume it's a car accident. We assume
the car crash.
Yeah. So
a lot of
anyway,
details missing on how people are dying in this book.
The point I'm trying to get at is that Caroline hasn't had any kind of relationship, like, serious or otherwise, with anyone while she was caring for her mom. And I get it. Okay, it takes up a lot of your time, but it seems like there probably would have been opportunity there at least to have some kind of, like, casual, maybe she's not a casual relationship kind of woman, but even, I still think everybody at some point in their lives has to have a slut phase. I think it's so important just to find out about yourself.
Yes.
And
yeah,
what
I
you
agree.
Want and what
I
you
agree.
Like.
Mm-hmm. And also realize if that's your thing or not.
Exactly. And she never had that. And I feel like it's a choice more than a choice that she made rather than a choice that was made for her. And it really bothers me now that she has all of this freedom, and she's had freedom for 3 years. And she hasn't had any relationships even in those short 3 years?
I don't know. Well, I mean, you could use the excuse that she technically was still hung up on Jared and so on and so forth.
Oh,
speaking
God.
Of which, like,
how long are you going to carry that torch?
Oh, I know, right? Well, apparently it works out. So.
But we don't know if she's been hung up on him because she hasn't thought about him since he showed up at the supermarket.
I don't know. Anyway, so this is a woman, though, like, in this book, she's got a lot of friends and there's a lot of socializing. Which a is lot nice. Of like how women do, like, you know, like you consult one friend and then you consult like three others and usually they tell you the same thing, which you ignore for a little while. Then you come back to- and how that kind of element I did enjoy of the book, but I didn't think it was required. And it slowed everything down.
Yeah, agreed. We don't have to have five conversations about Jared with three different women, all of whom have the same thing to say.
Yeah, and it's just like I was unsure of why this was there. Like it just, again, like the pacing of this book is slow. Like you're like it's a cute book. It's not poorly written. Mm-hmm. It's just really, the pacing is just really annoying. And well,
there's no incident. Nothing happens.
There's no incident. So essentially this whole thing leads up to the fact that her boss, who is actually quite nice, mm-hmm. not her boss's boss, who's the dude who like is telling her that
no, that's
he can't...
not her boss's boss. That's just someone else. That's just the guy who runs the finance department.
Right.
Who is the finance department. He's the asshole.
Her boss wants to promote her, but he can't because there's no funds to promote her. Mm-hmm. So what he does instead is someone drops out of running this matzo ball and being in charge of the committee, and he nominates her because he thinks that she'll do a fantastic job, which she does. Fortunately, Jared is super famous and wants to, like, his motivations for bringing all these clients in is more just to, I think, impress her rather than do the right thing.
But so it works out in the end.
It works, yeah, it works so in the end. Like,
whatever his motivations are. Be they selfish or unselfish.
I love the fact that all he does is pick up the phone and he's like, yeah, you got time to come to New Jersey? Yeah, okay, just cancel all your shit so you can come here, and like hangs up and he's like, yeah, I got like one of the biggest stars in Hollywood to come to my fucking matzo ball because you need to sell more tickets.
No, he was a Broadway star. This is a real person. All the A-listers, all the name dropping, these are real people, which I don't know how I felt about that. I thought it was kind of weird, to be honest. Because he keeps talking to Brad.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, and it's just like all these A-listers all of a sudden, like, because we'll just kind of go over the story quickly and then get into more depth. So essentially what happens is like all these A-listers come, the matzo ball ends up being an incredible success. But in between all of this, he kind of takes her on these little dates, which quote unquote aren't dates because she doesn't want to admit they're dates. And then sometimes like he has the kids, sometimes he doesn't. He's wrestling with feelings because he doesn't know how to be a dad, but he's actually, everybody tells him he's very good at it, but he doesn't want to admit it. His parents then tell him that he's an asshole because he left her at the height of her mom's illness and like fucked off right after high school to go be a big shot lawyer.
Not even to be a big shot lawyer. He's fucking 19 years old. That is a ton of responsibility to dump on somebody. And he wasn't ready for it. And he handled it poorly. Everybody agrees to that. But at the same time, it's like, what the fuck do you want from a 19-year-old who has all of these prospects and is goal oriented?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, like, he admits that he was an asshole because he could have been there for her. His mom fucking nags him about that, about how she's such a, she's such, and how, you know, Caroline's such a good person and, like, look what you did and so on and so forth. So they invite her in for the Seder.
Yeah.
In which case, there's a lot of references there that I was like, okay.
So there is a lot of explanation of Jewish traditions.
But there's not a lot of explanations. Like, they're like, oh yeah, the four questions. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm like, the four agreements? That's a book.
No. So, okay, we can get into this Jewish stuff now if you want.
Because now we've gotten to the part, we kind of just explained the whole book up to the matzo ball.
Yeah, so at the matzo ball, so real quick. Okay, so the matzo ball is a fundraiser, and it happens after Passover. And Jared gets these A-listers to come. Everybody makes a lot of donations. They dig deep, and it's a huge success. Caroline is on the case of trying to find, like, she wants to track these donations and see if she can figure out where all the money is disappearing to. And by happenstance, she runs into an HVAC guy who she recognizes as being the HVAC guy for the JCC, and he's like, and she says it out loud to the dude, and he's like, yep, I come in once a year. And she's like, oh, interesting, okay, see you later, bye. And then when she's looking through the finances, she's like, well, if this guy shows up once a year, why are there quarterly deposits being made to the HVAC company? And so this is the beginning of unraveling all the fraud that's taking place. So it's like, that I feel like it was it bothered me because there
that
was
it was a happenstance.
That was just yeah, it was just sheer dumb luck that she ran into this dude. Because earlier in the book, we're told that she was encouraged to take accounting courses and stuff like that at community college, which she did and she enjoyed. And then when she gets told to stay in her lane by Al, the accountant, this would have been a good opportunity for her to like dust off those accounting skills and really step up to the plate. But all she does is stare at spreadsheets, trying to divine knowledge from just a bunch of numbers on a computer screen. And then it's just luck that she runs into this dude. Mm-hmm. And so she never does any real investigating of her own. She doesn't follow the money. It just like, well, then what's the point of her being a fucking accountant?
And then the best part is that she has a meeting with another, like one of the board members.
Yes.
And she just kind of like passes off the responsibility of the investigation to them and then just like,
she's like, all right, let me know what you find out. And then 2 weeks later, Al gets walked out of the building in handcuffs. And and that's the end of that. Yeah. And I would have expected, I think it would have been more interesting if maybe Jared played a bigger role in helping her figure out the...
Exactly. Like, I'm going to, instead of taking you on all these dates, like, let's actually, because he offers, he's like, hey, you know, I'll come over and help you with your accounting stuff. And she's like, no, let's just go on that date instead. I'm like, it would have been much better.
Yeah.
Like, if that had been a thing.
But he's a lawyer, and what do lawyers know about accounting? I don't know. It just would have been more interesting. Like, the only, him being a fancy pants lawyer only serves the story in that he can make the matzo ball a success. Everybody's mm-hmm. praising her for her hard work. It's like she showed up at the 11th hour with a guy in tow who had all these connections. She didn't fucking do anything.
She didn't do anything. Later on, she's like, I'd like to thank my team because they had most of like everything done beforehand. And I'm like, yeah, they had everything done. And then all you did was come and like, they just had to reorganize things to be a Broadway theme.
Which I thought was tacky.
Oh, it was so tacky. So
that was very tacky. Just because you have a Broadway star doesn't mean this whole thing should be a Broadway theme. The theme should just be like elegance, tasteful elegance. Yeah, the book is weirdly paced because after the matzo ball, Jared goes home and Caroline digs deeper into the fraud. And while Jared's at home, he decides that he hates his job and he hates his life in LA. And he decides to move back to New Jersey, which we all knew was going to happen. He should have just stayed there.
I know, right?
I think about a month goes by in the last few chapters of the book where Jared's in LA trying to wrap things up there so he can move back to New Jersey. And Caroline's figuring out the fraud situation, or not even. She's kind of done at that point.
She gets promoted.
This is so weird. She gets promoted. That's nice. He gets a job offer with a firm in New York, but then it's not a job offer. He interviews for a job in New York, doesn't get the job, but decides he's going to stay in New Jersey anyway. So it's like, that's weird. I thought that was a weird thing to do.
Because he mentions that he has the money that he can just chill for a bit.
Yeah. But it's just weird to have this job opportunity. I guess it was just to get him, but he'd already made the decision to move back anyway, even if he hadn't said it out loud. So whatever. I just thought that was kind of a strange turn of events. So the morning that Caroline's going to get on the plane and fly to Greece for her holiday, he shows up at her door, confesses his undying love, and he's like, I'm staying in New Jersey. And it's, I'm in love with you. Let's give this a go. I want to be with you. But I understand that you don't want to be saddled with commitment. And I have a 2-year-old, blah, blah, blah. And she is still fucking struggling with this idea that,
although she's been miserable ever since
that
she went home.
Once you commit to somebody, you don't have any more freedom. And it's like, what is wrong with you?
You can still go on your fucking trip. If you're in a good relationship, you can still go to Greece.
Not even that. It's just, well, if I'm in a relationship with someone, then I have to sacrifice all of my freedom and independence to be with that person. And it's like, who told you that?
Yeah.
That is not a healthy relationship.
Nope.
And he has, the whole time that you've known this person since he came back, he has never once asked you to give up anything for him.
No, he's been nothing actually but supportive of you traveling and doing things.
So it's like, what is wrong with you? And I just, that throughout the entire book, that was the thing that she's struggling with the most. And she even has one of her friends tell her, it's like, that's stupid. You're being stupid. And she still can't pull her head out of her ass and understand that being in a committed relationship doesn't mean that you don't have any agency. So it's just, and this is her getting in her way for the entirety of the book. And it made it super duper long to read.
Yes.
Yeah. It felt slow.
It was slow because also nothing fucking happens.
Yeah. Yeah. They go on a few dates. The dates happened. That's what happened. Then they have sex. Finally.
And then the book ends. And that's really it.
Yeah. She says, yes, I choose you. And then she gets on a, she doesn't even get on a plane. She's not in at the airport. I thought he would have bought a ticket and gone with her.
Yeah, I would have, that would have been nice.
Ditch
but
the
he
kid
has a kid
with
too.
The grandparents.
Right? Yeah, that would have been nice. But then that's not the
right.
whole dad
show up
image,
at the
right?
airport. That would have been really cute.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
She's boarding her plane and he's sat next to her.
Or just have like some segue being like, oh, when I was in Greece, I had a great time. I learned all these things, but I just kept on thinking how I would have loved to have Jared and a little kid with me, you know, like something like that. And then when he gets home, he meets her at the airport.
Good. Right. Yeah. That would have been great too. But no, just declaration of love. Okay, I'm not even going to drive you to the airport.
And I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back.
That's such a camp song.
I know, right? I'm a bank.
Oh, my God. Or you get sued by James Taylor. Let's talk about Jewish stuff.
Right.
So ask me your questions and I will attempt to answer them.
No, it's more like the four, I don't know what the four questions are in Seder, like what the fuck that was.
So when the Seder begins, the four questions are asked. And I thought this was weird in the book. So the tradition is that the youngest person at the table asks the four questions. And it's a way of introducing the story that's about to be told. And in the book, he said that he and his brother, Jared and his brother, fought over who got to ask the four questions. And it's like, no, it's the youngest. It's always the youngest. There shouldn't be any fights. So I thought that was weird that they would have this fight. My entire life, even now, as an adult woman, I'm still the youngest person at the table, and I'm still singing those four questions every year.
Isn't Chris younger than you? Doesn't he get to say it?
He's not going to be there.
Oh, true.
So, yeah, Chris is younger than me, so he would have to ask the questions, which would force him to learn a bit of Hebrew. And we all heard him stumble over the Hebrew at the wedding.
Yeah. He doesn't mind, though.
No, he doesn't mind. He would actually be kind of, he wouldn't sing it, though. He's too self-conscious to sing.
Oh, I wouldn't be singing shit. I'd start James Taylor instead.
Here we go. They walk through the Seder plate. I thought that was nicely done.
But I mean, like, just for anybody who's, like, not familiar with Judaism at all, it is the Exodus.
This
like,
is the Jews Passover commemorates the Exodus. So the Jews leaving Egypt.
And you can't have anything with leavening, right? Like, or...
Yes. So during Passover, it's... So this is also a weird... So in the book, they keep saying Passover lasts a week. It's 8 days, but they keep saying seven.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was strange, but I think these people are Reform, so maybe because they only do one Seder, so they might celebrate a little bit differently. Also, they had an orange on their Seder plate. I have no idea what the hell that's all about. And so I liked what the explanation in the book, that it was to represent...
Because when they arrived in Florida...
Yeah, when all the Jews, the promised land, all orange groves. That's a pretty good joke. So anyway, I lost my track of what I was talking about. Something about a Seder plate.
Yeah, Seder plate, the orange. You didn't know what that was.
The orange is not. That was new to me. I thought that was nice.
But you're talking about leavening.
Oh yes. Yeah, so during Pesach, because it's sort of this week commemorating this flight from Egypt. The idea, though, is that when the Jews, Hebrews were running away from Egypt. They didn't have time to prepare to leave. It was just like, get up and go. We have to get out now. And so there was no time for their bread to rise. And so they just took their flatbread with them, which is why we eat matzah. And so it represents the unleavened bread. And so we have all these dietary restrictions put on us because of what they could and couldn't take with them during their flight through the desert. And so we can't have anything with yeast or leavening in it. We can't have anything with flour in it. And then there's like a whole bunch of other restrictions.
Thai food it is. Which is also, there's a lot of Thai food.
There's a lot of Thai food in this book. But they're not eating Thai food during Pesach. Right. Yeah, because depending on how strict you are and your cultural background, rice may or may not be a part of your diet during Passover.
Anyway, so let's get back to the book. No, and we had our cultural lesson. hot or not, Rachel?
I don't know. Quite not. Like, when they finally get to have sex, it was okay. But I felt like the sex part was really perfunctory, and it was all, like, the foreplay. So all of, like, the kissing and the undressing. But the actual sex itself is like, and then he entered her, and they found the release. That end, it's like, oh, okay.
I guess because I found the whole book so fucking boring.
I found the sex really boring, too.
I didn't find the sex that boring. Like, as I said, like, it was okay.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't read the whole book just for this scene.
No, for the two sex scenes? Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, like, it just, and it wasn't like I found that there was, like, this massive tension either. Like, they both wanted each other. We know that. Like, it's just, and there wasn't, I didn't right. feel.
And she's the only one stopping it from happening.
Yeah, and I felt like the writing was just slow and the pacing was so slow that I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, and yeah, and once you get down to it, it's like, yeah, undressing and stuff. But there was not like a lot of like description of like touching or bodies or like, you know, like the aspect that would, the details that would make something like salacious, I would say. It was fairly conservative.
It was, it is. Like the book, it's not as chaste as some of the other, like, love-inspired
true
romances.
It's not like the Amish
romance.
Well,
but that other one we read with the hunter, with the woman who's being bow hunted.
Oh yeah.
They like, they don't even kiss, those two. They I barely know, right? hold yeah, hands. At least these two get together.
You haven't even put that one up yet.
Oh, you're right. I'm talking about something nobody knows about. Well, that'll be a fun surprise for you, dear listener. So hot, I'd say like mild. Like not quite, not tepid. Mild. Like not room temperature.
Like
maybe
I mean, like
degrees
if you're,
above
here,
room
but here,
temperature.
Yeah, but here's the thing is like if you're buying salsa and you buy the mild salsa, just get some fucking bruschetta and tomatoes, Jesus.
I buy mild salsa.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's it, that's for you.
So you're saying this is mild salsa? That's what this book is?
Yeah, it's kind of like just slather some tomato sauce on that puppy and get it over with.
Anyway, Jared is described as being pretty hot.
Yeah, well, and she's also the ex-athlete that could have had all these scholarships but had to take care of her mom.
Yeah.
So they're both hot and fit.
Yes. Well, she's fit. I don't know if she's, because you can be fit and not hot.
Yeah, he describes her as being pretty, though.
Yeah. But so, he finds her attractive. Eh. Anyway, the point is, you can read it on the bus and not be afraid.
No.
Of your reaction.
It, yeah, you're not gonna need any alone time, that's for sure.
Nope. Not with this one.
Yeah, I don't think it's that hot, honestly. I think it's bad.
Okay, so this book has a rating of 4.00.
Wow!
Yeah, people like it. Oh. That's high.
Maybe because it's for a particular audience and they're biased. There's not a lot of Jewish romances out there. I'm just guessing.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know a lot of non-Jewish people that would be like, oh, look, a Jewish romance. Let's pick up this one. Like, it's just, it's a very specific audience.
100%. Yes. But I don't know if, I mean, just because it's written, like, I'm a Jewish woman. I picked it because it's a Jewish romance and I didn't enjoy it. So I don't know, like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the people reviewing these things might be more inclined than others. But anyway, so just anyway, go on. Let's hear these. Let's hear
there is exactly one-star review.
Okay.
And she wrote DNF at 18%. There was a lot good of call. Things I didn't like. This is a second chance romance, so I'm already really picky with those. Okay, fair enough. And the way things were going in this one doesn't make me feel either party has the maturity to try this relationship again. Then after he bumps into her twice, literally bumping into her, he goes home and thinks he's falling for her again, question mark, and that's the end of the review.
Not wrong.
No, I mean, the emotional maturity, I think he has it. I don't think she does.
I think he's actually
quite mature.
Very mature, and he's trying to, like, you know, make amends, and he understands what he did and so on and so forth. I think that she's just an idiot.
She is an idiot. He can talk about this stuff without feeling ashamed or embarrassed or uncomfortable, and she doesn't want to have these conversations. It's like, no, you absolutely have to have this conversation.
He is very in touch with his feelings, and she is completely in denial.
So the 2-star review, actually, it's just a 2-star rating. There's no review. I guess it earned that 4 stars. People really like this book.
Well, we're in the minority once again.
It's always the way. That's fine. We're fine.
Yeah, isn't it, though? Well, happy Passover, everybody.
Yes. Happy Passover. Thank you.
L'chaim.
Until next time, I've been Rachel.
And I've been Shelley.
And yeah, keep it sexy.
Yeah, keep it sexy with your bland matzah crackers, and good luck on your diets. Like penis? Did you put it in penis?
I put in the word dick. Okay, penis.
Try penis.